Well, praise the Lord. We begin with Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The Wycliffe Bible, for life is short, and then we be gone. You know, the years really do pass so quickly. Days and the number of our days. We may not always feel this, for there are seasons of life, years of life and living. For instance, childhood and the youth years where time seems to crawl by. You know, the long wait that one turns 16 and the privilege and ability to legally operate a vehicle. The long wait for the age of 18 and now a legal adult. Oh, to get through the school years and graduate. Can hardly wait. Milestones and markers. But you know, there comes a time in life when the years seem to pass by so quickly. The years, the months, the weeks, and even the days. Job 7, verse 7, oh, remember that my life is a breath. Psalm 102, verse 3, reading from the Voice, for my days come and go, vanishing like smoke. Not there yet? Haven't reached the time where the pithiness and preciousness of time grips. Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. The Voice Bible reads, the children of Adam are like grass. Their days are few. They flourish for a time like flowers in a meadow. As the wind blows over the field and the bloom is gone, it doesn't take much to blow us out of the memory of that place. The words of Charles Spurgeon, he said, here is the history of the grass. Sowing, growing, blowing, mowing, gone. And the history of man is not much more. Breath, vanishing smoke, days like grass. Billy Graham stated, the greatest surprise in life to me is the brevity of life. Ecclesiastes 6, verse 12, for who knows what is good for man in life? All the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? The Voice, for who knows the best way for us to live during the few days of our fleeting lives? After all, we pass through them like shadows. In the Message paraphrase, who knows what's best for us as we live out our meager smoke and shadow lives? Well, there is one Who knows what is good for us in life? The Lord not only knows what is good for us, He knows what is best for us. I don't know about you, but I want the God life and nothing else. The God life and nothing less. These meager smoke and shadow lives. This knowledge, this reality, this conviction, this feeling. We must resonate with the words of the psalmist, Psalm 90, picking it up at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wycliffe Bible, teach us that our days be short, and so make people learned in their hearts with thy wisdom. The Amplified, so teach us to number our days that we may cultivate and bring to you a heart of wisdom. Life's short. You know, though it be breath, smoke, grass, shadow, this life, this short life, is of incredible importance and bears everlasting impact. Let it arrest us today, the reality that the few years of life on this side of eternity determine the everlasting years lived when this grass be gone. Teach us to number our days, Lord. Hearts of wisdom. Smoke and shadow lives, the brevity of life. You say, I don't want to think like that. Well, I'm not asking you to worry. I'm not asking you to become anxious. You know, thank God for the days, for the weeks, for the months, for the years, the decades, and by His grace, the century. Thank God. Life is a gift. Life is precious. Life is an opportunity. Life is not to be squandered. Life is not to be wasted or despised. Cherish the life God has given. Live as He would have you live. It's the best way to live. It's the right way to live. For the words of Billy Graham, he said, there comes a moment when we all must realize that life is short. And in the end, the only thing that really counts is not how others see us, but how God sees us. When you're young, you're like, I'm going to live forever. Invincible. Then the years bleed on. Where did the time go? Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The Living Bible, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Listen, time is currency. Time is currency. We need to be taught by the Lord. We need to be taught by the Word. We need to be taught by the Holy Ghost. And in order for the teaching to produce the intended result, we need to be teachable. Perhaps that's part of the problem. We're not teachable. We are talking about godly wisdom, divine in nature, and how gloriously it beautifies life. How should we spend our days? I mean, imagine the answers to the question. Even in this room, how should we spend our days? One gives their recommendation, and another theirs. You know, a wise man once lived, an incredibly wise man. 1 Kings chapter 4, pick it up at verse 20. Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. So Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of fine flour, 60 cores of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, and 100 sheep besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side of the river, from Tifsa even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river. And he had peace on every side all around him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, each man under his vine and his fig tree, from Dan as far as Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. These governors, each man in his month, provided food for King Solomon and for all who came to King Solomon's table. There was no lack in their supply. They also brought barley and straw to the proper place for the horses and the steeds, each man according to his charge. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. We skip down, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, from the cedar tree of Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds, of creeping things, and of fish, and men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, who had heard of his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Wow. Well, the Bible says God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore, a man wiser than all men. I mean, imagine Men of all nations, from all the kings of the earth, coming to hear the wisdom of one man. The Lord had appeared to Solomon. We read about it in 1 Kings chapter 3. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask. Ask what I shall give you." I mean, how does one reply? What answer would we render? First Kings 3, beginning of verse 6, and Solomon said, "You've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding, that is, a hearing heart, to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Ask, what shall I give you?" You know, it's the right way to answer. "I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart." I can't help but hear the words of Jesus, Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so too a manner of life and living as we follow Jesus." Solomon asked for an understanding heart, for wisdom, for God wisdom, for godly wisdom, for divine wisdom, supernatural wisdom. 1 Kings 3, verses 10 to 14. The speech pleased the Lord. "Ask, what shall I give you?" How do you answer? What answer would we render? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Listen, the Lord was pleased. And the Lord granted the man his request. "Ask, what shall I give you?" "Lord, I want long life." "Oh Lord, give me riches for myself. Give me the life of my enemies. No. Lord, I ask for understanding, an understanding heart. A wise and understanding heart. And look what the man received. Look what else the Lord gave the man. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. One with a wise and understanding heart still has to choose right. Ask, what shall I give you? Lord, I want a wise and understanding heart. Granted. One with a wise and understanding heart still has to choose right and walk out the will of the Lord. Free will at play. It's not going away. We'll halt the rhyme there. The flesh at war with the spirit, and the spirit at war with the flesh. Solomon, how could you ever miss? A wise and understanding heart beating in the chest, this pulse. Well, this heart must be guarded. You know, Solomon allowed his heart to slowly turn the wrong way. Remember the words, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen, that is, prolong your days. 1 Kings chapter 9, the Lord appears to Solomon a second time, verses 4 to 5. If you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever. What a promise. Verses 6 to 9. But if you or your sons at all turn, that is, turn back from following me, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. Israel will be a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. I mean, is it possible that a person with a wise and understanding heart, granted, given by the Lord, could go rogue? The heart slowly turning the wrong way. An irregular heartbeat. A heart problem, a heart attack, attack on the heart. Have you ever read the book of Proverbs? the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. I mean, incredible wisdom and understanding. Get in the book. It's still proven to be true that a proverb a day keeps the devil away. Have you ever read the great book of Ecclesiastes? The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 12 to 18. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood, that is seen, great wisdom and knowledge. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. What words are these? You know, it's interesting how the Amplified Classic Bible reads, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied myself by heart and mind to seek and search out by human wisdom all human activity under heaven. It is a miserable business which God has given to the sons of man with which to busy themselves. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after the wind and a feeding on wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is defective and lacking cannot be counted. I entered into counsel with my own mind, saying, behold, I have acquired great human wisdom. Yes, more than all who have been over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has had great experience of moral wisdom and scientific knowledge. And I gave my mind to know practical wisdom and to discern the character of madness and folly in which men seem to find satisfaction. I perceive that this also is a searching after wind and a feeding on it. For in much human wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. The footnote states, the wisdom of Proverbs is not the wisdom of Ecclesiastes. The former is godlike, the latter is usually human. And these words throughout this book, not once is a supreme being recognized as Lord of lords and King of kings. The word used to designate him is invariably the one that may be applied to God or to idols, Elohim, the God recognized under the sun. The wisdom which is thus limited can end only in a miserable business and in vexation of spirit until it finds the wisdom that is from above. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Oh, it's coming together. I applied myself by heart and mind to seek and search out by human wisdom all human activity under heaven. I have acquired great human wisdom. My mind had great experience of moral wisdom and scientific knowledge. I gave my mind to know practical wisdom and to discern the character and madness of folly in which men seem to find satisfaction. But look, look at how the chapter closes. Verse 18. For in much human wisdom is much vexation. And he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. More words from the bottom of the page. Ecclesiastes is the book of the natural man whose interests are confined to the unstable, vanishing pleasures and empty satisfactions of those who live merely under the sun. The natural man is not aware that all the affirmative answers to life are to be found in him who is above, not under the sun. The natural man grovels in the dust and finds only earthworms, while the spiritual man may soar on wings like eagles above all that is futile and disappointing, and may live in the consciousness of God's companionship, favor, and incomparable everlasting rewards. You know, there may be many in this room that have never read the great book of Ecclesiastes. So let's just break it down real quick. Chapter 1, the vanity of life. Chapter 2, the vanity of pleasure and the end of the wise and the fool. Chapter 3, everything has its time, the God-given task, and injustice seems to prevail. Chapter 4, the uselessness of selfish toil, the vanity of selfish toil, the value of a friend, and popularity passes away. Chapter 5, fear God, keep your vows, and the vanity of gain and honor. Chapter 6, wealth is not the goal of life. Wow. Are you sure? Chapter 7, the value of practical wisdom. Chapter 8, obey authorities for God's sake. And death comes to all. Chapter 9, death comes to all. I guess it was worth repeating. And wisdom superior to folly. Listen, we need to stop. We need to read verses 13 to 18. I know we're over time. Please, we have no service tonight. This wisdom, that's because you all come Sunday nights, right? Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, Lord, teach us to number our days and we might be wise. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with a few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Chapter 10, wisdom and folly. Chapter 11, the value of diligence and seek God in early life. Verses 9 to 10, rejoice, O young man, young woman, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways, that is, the impulses of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth, that is, prime of life, are vanity, vapor, breath. Chapter 12, seek God in early life. Worth repeating. Yes, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Verses 6 to 8, remember your Creator before the silver cord, that is of life, is loosed, snapped apart. Or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, literally, and the whole circulatory system of the blood ceases to function. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Chapter 12. The whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 9 to 14. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of the scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Book's end. No chapter 13. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, not human wisdom. Lord, we need your wisdom, your understanding, wisdom from above, wisdom of him who is above. Listen, our days are numbered. The whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's all. This is woman's all. The Wycliffe, fear God, revere God, and obey his commands. The Amplified Classic, all has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness. The adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun, and the whole duty for every man. The Amplified, fear God, worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is Almighty God, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, every hidden and secret thing, whether it is good or evil. Listen, you know, church. People of God, if we will hear the conclusion of the whole matter, if we will listen to the conclusion, if we will live in accordance with the conclusion, Exodus 23, 26, the number of thy days I will fulfill. You know, those taught of the Lord, taught to number their days, gain a heart of wisdom. And these rest assured of this. I know my days are numbered, but I know he numbers my days. What a way to live. How freeing. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Oh, psalmist, sing. Psalm 39, 4 to 7, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. I'll just pause and calmly think on that for a moment. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Psalm 139, 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How can we best spend our days, live our days, and fulfill our days? We're not going to read the text, but here it is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Teach us to number our days, Lord. James 4, 13 to 15, come now you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, guess what? You know what you ought to say? If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Well, we got to track quickly. Worry cannot add to your life, but prayers and tears can. And walking in his ways and keeping his statutes and commandments can. Remember King Hezekiah, near death? Man, he cried out. God gave him 15 years. Prayers and tears, and yes, walking in his ways, keeping his statutes and commands. And that's what the Lord said to Solomon. The Lord said, if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Let's have the worship team return today. Well, the last point today is this. Don't die before your time. Well, where's the scripture to back that up? Ecclesiastes 7:17. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? Why should you? For what? This can apply in so many ways today. Just let the Spirit run with it all across this place. But how about this? Live, yes, with vision and purpose and passion and zeal and resolve. You are not dead. You are alive in Christ. I encourage every person in this room today to live for something and live for someone bigger than self. Well, we know that every one of us will pass from this life and cross over. I mean, unless Jesus returns in our lifetime. But unless Jesus returns in our lifetime, we will exit this life. Ecclesiastes 3:2, a time to be born and a time to die. Psalm 116:15, precious, yes, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Yeah, it's so true. Life is short. Life is short, and then we be gone. Sowing, growing, blowing, mowing, gone. This life counts for eternity and counts eternally. You know what? We should feel the weight of this reality. This is no game. You know why this life is like vapor? Because when you think about eternity, everlasting days. What are these 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, 120? You know, you could live the longest life and wind up in the Guinness Book of World Records. Congratulations. If you don't know Jesus, you got a terrible eternity ahead. You say, how do you know? Well, you're right, I haven't died yet. But I'm not about to gamble. That's the most reckless, idiotic form of gambling on planet Earth. And people have been doing it since the fall. People have been doing it. You're gambling with your life. We're not talking about money. You're gambling with your life. You're gambling with your soul. You're gambling with eternity. You're saying, I'm just going to live my life however I want to live it. Well, you know what? The wisest man to ever live has something to say about that. Are you wiser than King Solomon? Well, let's ask this. Are we wiser than Jesus? Who would be brave enough to raise their hand in this house? Ah, I'm wiser than Jesus. Wiser than Jesus? Are you wiser than God? Let's go back to Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will take care of everything else. I'll fulfill your days. Your days are numbered. But if you follow me, you'll know who numbers your days. God, I need wisdom. God, I need wisdom. Maybe it's time we ask the Lord for wisdom, a wise and understanding heart. Maybe it's time we put the list down, you know, where we've been asking God for riches of life. We've been asking God for the life of our enemies. We've been asking for God for all these other things, but we got to get down to what really matters. God, I need a wise and understanding heart. Teach me to number my days. Do you know Jesus? You know, there are no altar calls on the other side of eternity. On the other side of the grave, there's no altar calls. And you know, we don't like to think like this, but there might be someone in the room, and this is your last chance. This is it. Last time you'll hear a message, last time you'll don the doors of a church. It's possible. That's it. Life gone. No more opportunity. Man, if he's knocking on your heart, and he is, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. You say, well, I want to run and I want to search out and I want to seek and I want to explore everything under heaven. Listen, Solomon already did it. What did he say? Listen, he achieved what none of us are ever going to achieve. I mean, read the book. You want to accumulate? Look what this man had. And at the end, he said, fear God and keep his commandments. Just threw in the towel. Fear God and keep his commandments. The white towel, I surrender. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is man's all. I've attended so many funerals. That's life. And one day, unless I'm translated, people are going to attend mine, I hope. And I just hope that I lived like one who had a wise and understanding heart. I know we all mess up. I know. Man, life's a test. Life is something else. For all of us here today, let's ask the Lord this. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. I stand in the house of the Lord today. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it. For from you all into you. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. Yeah, you're worthy. Come on, we count it all as loss for the riches of Christ.